We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
I bet this place sells illegal fireworks. Just go in and act casual like you buy them all the time.
Let me have one of those porno magazines. Large box of condoms, a bottle of Old Harper, a couple of those panty shields, and some illegal fireworks, and one of those disposable enemas. Make it two.
Fung is winning, winning is Fung.
Let's do this. This is the Lawrence Holmes Show with Bernstein and McKnight sitting in for Lawrence Holmes.
What?
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's going to be that way in this segment, too. That's just going to be my guess, as far as people who have tended to enjoy.
Idiots.
Yeah, yes. Getting drunk and doing stupid things on 4th of July. But that's what this is called, Fails of July, Subhead Independence Day. 312-644-6767. Traditionally, on Friday, Fung, we start you out with something that comes via email. So we got a couple quickies here. Jerry D. in Palatine says, in 2014... my friends and I decided shooting a bottle rocket out of someone's mouth would be a great idea. And I decided that someone should be me. Well, when a bottle rocket gets to the end of the wick and it starts to launch, there are small amounts of metal, shrapnel, that shoot out of the actual rocket. And it wasn't a little one. It was one of the larger ones that explodes with a loud bang and a shower of colors. And thank God I didn't lose my vision. But my optical surgeon gave me some eye drops after removing the metal from my eye.
Idiot!
He said, I don't drink anymore. He adds. And another one from Kyle, who says, 14 years ago, went to my best friend's family's lake house for every fourth back in those days. They just got a new boat. And we were out wakeboarding. So my buddy asked me to whip him in, and I didn't know that they had changed the depth in front of their dock and took a way too aggressive line. And my friend's entire family was out in the yard, and I proceeded to beach their new boat. No one was injured, no serious damage. But after getting the boat to the dock, my friend and I both slipped and fell off the dock. And to this day, his father doesn't believe that we weren't both blasted out of our minds. Well, I'm sure you were. I don't believe you either.
You could have been. Boating works that way sometimes.
Shall we hit the phones?
Yes, we should.
All right, here we go. Let's do it. John in Joliet, you're on Friday Fung on the Score.
Good afternoon, guys. I dedicate this to my godfather who's no longer with us. Early 1970s, I recall my mom telling my godfather, do not bring any fireworks this year to the barbecue. Well, Uncle Paulie comes walking in with a 40-ounce in a bag in one hand and a bag of M80s in the other. And as soon as my mom walks in the house, he proceeds to try and light an M80 in the grill and drop it. So the grill blows up, meat flying everywhere, and my mom and my Uncle Paulie get into a fight. That was the best 4th of July I ever had.
the time the grill blew up. But he's he had a 40-ounce in one hand, a bag of M80s.
A bag of M80s.
That's the kind of Godfather you want.
That's how you order them, too. I'll just take a bag of M80s. Thank you so much. Just bring them all my way.
Atlanta, Georgia, and Larry on the score. Hello, Larry.
Larry.
Oh, Larry.
Larry.
Sorry, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah,
I apologize.
What's up, man?
So about 5 years ago, my wonderful preteens asked me and pleaded with me to, please, Dad, go up to Tennessee and buy some really expensive fireworks. So me being the really bad dad that I am, I drove up there and bought some really expensive fireworks and brought them home. So later that night, we were setting up the fireworks and shot off a couple, and the neighbors all come outside. And at the time, we lived in a cul-de-sac. And so as we were getting through all the fireworks, everybody's watching everything. And my son, who was 14, said, hey, Dad, can I light one? Oh. Sure, go ahead and do that. So we set up this big pack in the middle of the cul-de-sac. And as he's walking away after lighting it, he knocks it over.
Oh.
So here goes these big balls of fire shooting across the
Goodness
neighborhood
gracious.
In all different directions. And each one that comes out spins the damn thing in different directions. I had the entire neighborhood on fire. So I had the fire department there. I had lawns burning everywhere. I had angry neighbors all over the place. It was the worst thing ever.
Well,
the whole neighborhood.
It's going to take a lot to top that one from Larry. Thank you. Here's this is ex-NIU guy who says, we had a cottage every year. We'd share the 4th with two families, one from Kansas City, one from St. Louis. We would take our kids to the fireworks store. They would pick out fountains and sparklers. My friend from Kansas City came to the house with 3 aerial bombs that he got from a friend who worked at Kauffman Stadium. We weren't sure how to light these off, so we decided to use a round, 6-inch wide, 4-foot long corrugated gutter extension tube.
No.
By digging a hole vertically in the ground and pointing it up. Why did we think this would work? Late that afternoon, my friend from Kansas City lit the first one, went up about 100 feet and exploded. Very loud, big concussion, we could really feel it. Then my friend from St. Louis, and we waited, and nothing happened. And he went over to see what was going on, as his wife begged him not to. He stuck his head over the tube.
No!
He's wily coyote. He heard a sizzle, pulled his head away, the bomb shot off, missed his head by a foot, and exploded only 10 feet in the air.
Oh.
So I was not about to like the last one.
No.
We also took no claim for the shattered windows and broken porch lights on several of our neighbors' homes. Thankfully, my friend didn't blow his head off in front of 7 children. Unfortunately, he could not hear anything until the next day.
That's the thing about those, you know, those corrugated, the tubes that actually come with the firework? They might look like they cost, I don't know, $1.50 or something to make, and they probably did, but they're made in the right way. The joint that takes the cylinder together with the base actually forces the firework upward and prevents you from blowing off your hand.
Uh-huh.
Use it.
Ted is in Alexandria, Virginia, and he's on Sports Radio 670 on Fails of July.
I was in high school, and a friend of mine had an older brother who had just returned from the Iraqi wars, early 90s, and the brother wanted to have a fireworks fight, which I partook in for about 5 seconds, and I decided, I'm going to get the hell out of this house.
Cool.
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 That's okay.
All right. I thought that was going somewhere, but...
Nope.
No.
It ended.
I guess not. This segment's brought to you by True Green. Ready for a mosquito-free summer, Chicago? Just call True Green. They'll eliminate biting mosquitoes in your yard within 24 hours of application, guaranteed. Call 1-866-TRUE-GREEN or visit truegreen.com/mosquito-free-summer. Additional restrictions may apply. See truegreen.com for details.
They called to say 12 words.
It's all right. His dive is dance floor.
Yes, it is.
North Side, Willie, you're on the score.
I was in elementary school. It was in the 70s, so I'm prefacing that. A guy bet me $1 a firecracker to hold them in my hand. I thought I was smart enough to let them go right before they lit off. My hand stung for I don't know how long.
Would you make, like, $35?
Yeah, how much you get out of it?
I made $5.
That's too many.
Yeah,
that's too many.
That's too many.
The singing in my hand wasn't worse until, I mean, it got made worse when I heard my brother, my oldest brother, was looking for me. The beating I received from him was as bad as holding the firecracker. And I learned that day how bad firecrackers were. Not because I was dumb enough to hold firecrackers, but because my older brother taught me that was dumb.
Thank you, Willie.
Well,
my other brother told me that was dumb.
Yeah, so the burning hand wasn't enough. It was the beating he had to take.
I want to know what he bought with the $5. Probably more firecrackers.
More fireworks so he could hold it in his hand. In Westmont, it is Otto. He likes to get blatto. He's on the score. Hello, Otto.
Well, I can't top any of those stories, aside from Otto's overall stupidity and poor planning. And on July the 4th, 2009, I'm safe to say that I had a better July the 4th than one Steve McNair. But that being said...
Come on!
Well, nobody got hurt. Nobody got hurt.
All right, keep going.
So I took a ride out to the Big Red Bar in Sky Point for Shelton and decided to up my fireworks game for the annual 4th of July party and purchase some mortar-style fireworks. It was wrapped pretty tightly in a pretty nice little package that I failed to open earlier and take everything out and look at the instructions and such. So I started to open it and pulled out one of the shells, not knowing you're supposed to put them in the tube, and lit one off. It made a bombastic explosion that scared a bunch of people, and I still have about a 2-foot diameter crater in my asphalt driveway. And after which my mom asked, could you please let us know when you're going to do that again? And then I went and unwrapped the rest of the package and figured out, you put them in the tube before you shoot them off.
Yes.
And that's the story.
Yes, you do, Otto.
That is actually dumb.
Thank you.
It puts the bombshell in the tube or else it loses a hand.
It puts the lotion in the basket.
What are you doing?
In Buffalo Grove, here's Pete on the score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. All right, so this one only loosely has to do with fireworks, but it goes down in history as one of the biggest 4th of July fails in our family. I got married on July 4th, and at the time, my brother was underage. Our reception was at the Signature Room in the Hancock Building, which is all the way up in the 96th floor. And despite my grandmother kind of browbeating my younger brother the whole night about, don't you be drinking, and you're underage, and you're not supposed to be drinking, he was sneaking drinks right and left, and my cousins and friends thought it was funny to get my little brother plowed. At the end of the night, we're going down the elevator, all 96 floors, and I'm in the elevator with my dad, my brother, my grandmother, my new wife, a couple family members. About halfway down, he went green, and he threw up all over my grandmother's feet. We got down to the lobby, and it was like the scene in The Shining where the door opens and it all just sort of like rolls into the lobby. And yeah, the look on my grandmother's face, like 20 years later, it's still priceless. All right, I'll hang up. Thanks.
I have to go. Grandma's calling.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Oh my God, that is funny.
It's our buddy Tony and Sauganash on the Bernstein on the Lawrence Holmes show.
That's
with
right.
Bernstein and McKnight on
That's
the
right.
score.
Boys, how you doing? As of tomorrow, it will be Tony from Lake Forest, just for identification.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Ahoy.
Well,
so in 1990, Deerfield, I thought it'd be a good idea to. It was raining on the 4th of July, so I was launching out packs of firecrackers and jumping jacks out through the patio door. Mom kind of got in the way of one of them.
Yeah, damn, do that, you know.
Yep. And yeah, it kind of in her hair, all over the kitchen floor, burn marks everywhere. Yeah, that's 20-year-old Tony.
Lit Mama's hair on fire. Her hair's on fire. Can I take a call from a Bob?
Oh, absolutely. Today's the day for that.
It's a perfect way to close out the first segment of Friday Fung Fails of July with Bob in Hoffman Estates on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. God, I tell you what, this is a funny segment. There's so many stupid people, including myself.
Absolutely.
But I was dating this gal back in the 80s. Her father set off this huge display every year for all the neighbors to see. They all get out on their front porches and watch. Well, I wanted to be a part of this, but I was young and cheap, so I went out and bought some very cheap fireworks. I proceeded to set off the very first one, and this thing's supposed to go way up and blow up. Well, it goes up about 6 inches. Turns 90 degrees and shoots right for her mom. And it blows up right in front of her mom, almost blew her up. That turns out to be my mother-in-law. We've been married for 32 years.
And you still
Why
haven't successfully blown her
me,
up.
I have no idea.
Gone back to that same fireworks store and they don't have that one.
Yes, I keep looking for that one.
Can't find it.
It was actually just a pile of gunpowder.
Right. I'll make this work at some point. All right, this is good.
It is good.
Yeah, we're going to do more of it. It's exactly what we wanted.
Remember, it doesn't have to be fireworks.
No, it can be anything.
Though those are hysterical, these are fails of July or Independence Day stories. So, you know, if you're like, oh, yeah, I had this thing that happened on the 4th, but it didn't have the fireworks in it, that's fine. We want your story too.
That's okay. Great job so far on short notice. Fails of July. We've got another bank of calls, 312-644-6767. Bernstein and McKnight sitting in today on the Lawrence Holmes Show until 2 o'clock on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Quagmire, check it out. I took 10 M80s and stuck them all together. I call it Peter Griffin's Bunker Busting Mega Ultra Super. Ah! Ah! Holy crap! Ah!
Oh my God! You blew off all your fingers!
What happened? Oh my God!
You know, no huge hurry, but I'm sort of out of juice over here. Bone dry.
The hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Single-game tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. We are doing Friday Fung on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Bernstein and McKnight sitting in. Lawrence under the weather. He is going to be back on Monday. But we are doing Fails of July, or Independence Day. And next up on it is Wade in El Paso, Illinois, on the score.
Yeah, we were having a 4th of July party at my parents' house, and they have a big hill, so we set up a slip and slide, you know, typical redneck stuff here in central Illinois. And my dog, who's a Great Dane, really likes to chase our four-wheeler. So we all the kids are going down the slip and slide, and I started up the four-wheeler, and he went on a dead sprint straight across the Visqueen and absolutely obliterated my 8-year-old cousin going down slip and slide. It looked like Ray Lewis when he blocked that quarterback or kicker or whatever it was in that football game. It was terrifying and hysterical all at the same time.
It sounds like a Rex Chapman Twitter block great. Versus charge.
Oh, yeah, that's right? A block versus charge. Yeah, an 8-year-old and a Great Dane.
Yep.
That's a Great Dane's going to win. That's a bad matchup for the kid.
Great Dane loping at full speed. That's pretty good.
Just like Ray Lewis when he hit that kicker or quarterback or
somebody
whatever in that football game.
Something or helped murder a guy.
You guys saw that one, right?
Here's Tom in Wheaton. He's next on Sports Radio 670.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Happy Friday.
Thanks, Tom. You too.
About in my high school days, I had a bunch of buddies, about 4 or 5 guys that used to buy tons of fireworks, $5 to $1,000 worth every time that we'd go to, the 4th of July. And I hated fireworks. So every time they got the kits, they would throw the sparklers in my direction. I'm like, I don't want these things. So I finally took all the sparklers, probably over 100 of them, and taped them together. Well, needless to say, sparklers blew up all one time. It just was a big flash. I couldn't see. I had a blister from the top of my fingers to the middle of my forearm on 4th of July. It was great. So
yeah,
be careful with
awesome.
Sparklers. Sparklers, too.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
It was great.
I love exploding magnesium. It's great.
I guess it's moron hour. That's really what it is.
I was bleeding
okay.
Everywhere. It was awesome.
Oh, it was so great. Boy, we're all over the place today. It's making this so fun. How about Knoxville, Tennessee next?
Oh, hell yeah.
And Rob on the score on Friday Friday.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday to you.
You too, Rob.
Hey, so I grew up in Wonder Lake, Illinois. I know it's like the pit in northern Illinois. But my dad would splurge. He would go into Wisconsin and just buy tons of fireworks. And one year he wanted to try out what was called the Saturn missiles. And never tried them before. And we had about 20 people at our house. And we live in the real, real small neighborhood. Houses are real close together. And we had everybody, our neighbors were out watching, and he set these things off, and they are so unpredictable. And thinking they were going to go straight up, man, it looked like somebody opened fire with an AR-15 all over the yard in the neighborhood. These missiles went everywhere, and it chased off everybody on our deck. We had one guy run through our porch door, and so I think every year after that, we just kind of stopped doing it.
That's probably a good idea.
Probably don't do that once.
They advertise these Saturn missiles, the unpredictable missiles that go any place.
It'll put you through a porch door.
All right.
Buy the Saturn missile.
That's just an interesting choice, I guess. Well, what do you mean? Oh, these go anywhere. Terrific. It's Ed in Orangeville. He's on the score. Hi, Ed.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, we were in 04, my son graduated boot camp down in San Diego. So a couple days later, we took the family, me and my wife and the oldest son, the youngest son, and went down to Tijuana. We get down and we bought 300 M80s. So we're like, well, how the heck are we going to get these back across the border? Well, the lady you bought them from, she's like, well, just go get like a leather satchel and put them in there. So we did. Come back, walk across border customs, through customs. So we get back to San Diego, and we're going to take the plane at home. So we're like, how do we get them home? So we mailed them back to ourselves, and luckily the ATF didn't deliver them that day. But then about a week later, it was 4th of July, we were down at the beach in Mississippi. Got dark out, so I started blowing a few off. All of a sudden, there's some lights out in the river, just sitting there. I got up and I put them in my flat bottom. I had my flat bottom in my houseboat. I had another 300 in my house, or 200 in my houseboat. All of a sudden, the lights come on. They come into shore, and it was, so I made it all the way through customs, mailed them home. And I get home and I get a $400 ticket for blowing them off.
All that work, you smuggle them out of Mexico. You get them through the postal service, and then they get you on your houseboat.
I want to know what other things you were up to in Tijuana as the family trip, because you know it wasn't just buying 300 M8s.
No, there's clearly more going on.
Oh, yeah.
In Aurora, here's Bill. He's on the score on Friday Fung Fails of July.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Indeed it is.
My story has to relate to when I was in high school in Missouri. Some friends and I decided we were going to have a bottle rocket fight. So we were out in field having a bottle rocket fight. One of my friends took one of the before-mentioned Saturn missiles you talked about and taped onto an end of a stick and decided to light it all of us.
Oh, God.
Well, as you heard from the story before, they go anywhere. One of the missiles flew into a stack of round hay bales and set it on fire. That was not a good time.
Why? The conclusion, not a good time. Oh, these are the Saturn missiles.
I was just looking these up. Like, why? Why
yes,
do they make?
Okay, all right. I know now.
A firework that goes anywhere.
You know where we did this?
Oh, I know.
I just had a total memory flashback in Antigo, Wisconsin, on the Wolf River.
Antigo.
Yeah. Antigo?
Yeah, yeah. That's how they do it up there.
Okay, Antigo.
Believe me on this one.
On the Wolf River.
Yep.
And there's a Native American reservation. Not far from where we were staying, and we were rafting, and we went there one night to buy. This was one of the things we bought, and we shot it off in the parking lot. And I remember running from these things. I got it now.
Yep. No, that's actually the tagline for the Saturn missile fire ride. Well, it'll put you through a porch door. You'll run through plate glass.
And they just start going off in all directions. This is a really dumb thing to buy.
Oh, absolutely stupid. I can't imagine that these are actually legal.
Yeah, wow. Okay, now this should be fun. It's the home of Nick Shepkowski, Coal City, is where this is calling from. Justin is on the score. Hey, Justin.
Hey, Dan and Connor, how are you?
Fine.
What's up?
So back in college, this is a story non-related to fireworks. I was at a party all day, sand volleyball, fireworks. At the end of the night, I go to sit down in one of the old beach lounge chairs, you know, the plastic vinyl, those things that fold it up three different ways. So I sit down in it. Whole thing collapses on me, hits me in the back of the head, and I realize, oh, man, my hand hurts. Well, I look at my hand. It got caught in the gears, and it ripped all of my flesh out. I mean, I had a big half-inch, three-quarter-inch chunk of fat coming out of my hand. So I'm dating this girl at the time who thinks she's a nurse. I don't even know if she graduated from high school. And she goes inside, grabs a bottle of rubbing alcohol, pours it all over my hand, and I'm drinking all day, so my blood's as thin as can be anyway. My buddy takes toilet paper, wraps it around it with scotch tape. I wake up the next day, go home. I'm living with my parents at the time, walk in the door. My parents are like, what's on your hand? So I start to peel everything back, and all the flesh starts coming out with the toilet paper. And end up going to the doctor that day. So that was actually 4th of July that day because I had another party to go to. And this woman starts pulling all the tape and the toilet paper out, and the flesh keeps coming out, and irrigates it and cuts it all off and sews me up, and on to the next party I go.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like Steve Buscemi's character after he gets shot in the face in Fargo, and he puts the magazine on there, and he's peeling off the magazine pages.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Thanks, Justin. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
That's a good one.
Oh, that makes me want to get back to the fireworks story.
This segment is sponsored by Hint Water. Hint is pure, still, or sparkling water infused with a variety of fruit essences, including watermelon, blackberry, and cherry. No sugar, no sweeteners, no calories. Available in your local grocery store or at drinkhint.com. Hint, mouthwatering water. Let's close this out, shall we?
Now let's.
One more. Grays Lake and Derek. This was really fun today, folks. Derek's going to close out Fails of July. Derek, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
And
So a couple of years ago, me and my buddy, we were shooting off fireworks, and they go to proceed to shoot one off. Jimmy and Kevin go to proceed to shoot one off. Well, when they go to light the thing, it tips over, and the backyard is right next to a pond. So, and it's pretty dark out. They can't see which direction this thing is pointing. So they take off running back to the house, and Jimmy, it's so dark out, he trips over the hammock that's in the backyard. And Kevin sees that happen. He thinks Jimmy's laying down for cover or something. So he jumps to the ground, and Kevin ends up landing on dog poop. So he's got dog poop on him. And the thing, luckily it didn't hurt anyone. It just shot off across the pond and ended up in someone's backyard or something. No one was hurt. But moral of the story, pick up after your dog before you start lighting off fireworks.
That's a good way to end this with. And by the way, we should disclaim that none of these behaviors are officially recommended by Sports Radio 670 or Entercom.
And don't buy the Saturn missile thing.
The Saturn missile thing looks like it's great.
It's a small box of death. That's what it is. Don't buy it.
Or large box of death.
I suppose it
various
does.
Various sizes, death boxes.
Multiple sizes.
And a 608 texter says, Dan said Antigo right the first time. He says, as a Wisconsinite, it is Antigo.
That is not how we pronounce it.
All right. But it's 708 also in 773. Yes, Shotgun Eddies. That was the name of the Wolf River Resort where we used to stay. Shotgun Eddies, and we would raft, and you'd end up, there's a huge rapids right in front of the resort that also, at certain times of the day, was some terrific smallmouth fishing. But Shotgun Eddies, and I don't know if it still exists, still the best pecan pie I think I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
That's my goat. That's the greatest of desserts. Yep. Pecan pie is the greatest of all desserts.
It was just slightly warm. Like out of the oven, cooled, but not completely cooled.
Yep.
And not like warm.
Right.
But just warmer than room temperature.
You have to get it so that the inside is still pliable, but not too hot, that it's just kind of like liquid and falling apart and burns the tongue. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
it made me remember that those were the Saturn missiles that just... All right, you light the thing and then run, basically, right? Because one's coming for your eyeball.
Yeah, that's a really bad idea. That's a bad game plan for fireworks, is the one that shoots off at everyone around you.
The Cubs are back in action tonight on the Score airwaves against Cincinnati, and we need to ask some questions about their new closer after we saw him yesterday, about what the immediate future is going to hold. Also, we've got a new rule in the NBA.
Yeah, some interesting things to get to. We are Bernstein and McKnight filling in on the Lawrence Holmes Show, 670 The Score.
It was a big win for the Cubs yesterday, coming back from, 6-1, I believe, is what the score was before they... were able to roar back and get the victory that changed all the narratives in a packed house at Wrigley Field.
They had their butts kicked is what they were doing. They were absolutely having it handed to them. Tyler Chatwood did not look all that great, but the offense, like you say, rebounded and did a little work. Nice to see some situational hitting. Nice to see Jason Hayward staying hot. And indeed, nice to see Craig Kimbrell get his first save as a Chicago Cub. You asked a fairly interesting question during the break that I think is probably worth asking as we go into tonight's game. Care to ask it again? I don't have an answer for it. I find the answer to be
up or down.
Kind of out there, you know?
Is he available? Is Craig Kimbrell available tonight?
Is he available again? I know that Joe had mentioned, and so did Jed Hoyer when we talked to him yesterday, that it was going to be kind of a slow play for Kimbrell. It sounded like right away the plan was definitely for him to work clean ninth inning stints, really just save situations. Though I'm sure if they were to go like a week and a half or something where you don't use the closer, I'm sure he'd get a clean inning somewhere to have the work in, as it were. But I would guess, Dan, I would guess that he's down. If I had to presume, which is what you're asking me to do.
Because they told us that there would be a ramp up. That was the term that was used,
it
right?
It sounds like he's down, and I think they'd probably be, especially coming off of last season, where you did have some conversation about how often and how many times Brandon Morrow got used in a four-day stretch by Joe Maddon. I would imagine that's not the mistake you make a second. Well, if it's not a mistake, that's not the miscommunication that you make for a second straight season, especially when, you know, so many things kind of, especially as you go into the break, so many things kind of ride on him. Like, if you lose another reliever here, think about how many you're down already. Think about how upset the natural bullpen is right now with Carl Edwards Jr. out and some usage issues throughout. You can't really afford to have that guy used up before you get out of the break.
A question from the 563. Was there a substance on the bill of Kimbrell's hat?
Probably. He's an MLB pitcher.
Yes.
Everybody, let me explain this to you. Everyone has something on them somewhere. That's just how it works. Whether it's a mixture of sunscreen and pine tar.
True Grip, is that the name of it?
That's some stuff that's out there too, which I think is a pine tar substitute, if not, you know, derivative one way or the other.
Right, but I think there's one that's clear.
Everybody's riding with something, and everybody understands that. And really, other than Trevor Bauer, nobody really seems to give a damn. I mean, it's just, you need... Pitchers will tell you that you need a little bit better control over a baseball you're throwing that hard.
Trevor Bauer did an experiment in real time in front of everybody. On national television, he basically dared people to watch his spin rates. And he clearly had a substance of some kind on his fingertips early in the game. And he explained what you're watching here, and then near the end of the game, when the substance wore off, his spin rates came down, and his whole point was, when he was asked about it, he didn't cop to it directly, but he didn't deny it, and his whole point was, this is how you affect spin rate. When you see spin rate jumps in pitchers, it is because of this reason and only this reason.
Yeah, there's a reason a lot of guys, there's a reason Clay Buchholz looked like he did when he pitched, or that his hair looked like he did. Who's the, is it Dana Evland, or is it, who's the Oakland A that had the really long, the white dude who threw the no-hitter while his grandmother was there back in the
Dallas
middle?
Braden.
Thank you, Dallas Braden. He had all that stuff in his hair when he was pitching. There's a reason a lot of those guys look like they do while they're pitching as hard as they're pitching.
Yeah, so I'm with you. If I had to bet on it, I would say that this is not a day where they're going to use Craig Kimbrell, that they're going to take their win, they're going to let him bathe in it a little bit and hope they can win a game 8-3 and not have to worry about
well,
it.
Well, you know, either that or you've got to have some sort of... You go back to the bullpen you used to have. You know, it sucks to be one guy down, but this is where, in theory, if you had Kyle Hendricks in the rotation, in theory, you'd be using Tyler Chatwood in multiple innings instead of having to spot start him. This is where you could use a guy like Alzolay, who is stretched out at least more so than your typical reliever, even though, you know, he's only thrown about 85-something pitches. I think 87 was his season high this year. You could have him go an inning or two and kind of pull some stress off the back end of those guys, back end of that bullpen. That'd be a nicer situation than having Kimbrell down and not available in the back end. But you've got to be careful with this. You can't break this toy before you unwrap it.
Yeah, the Wisconsin River rafting people are out saying Shotgun Eddie's is the outfitter, not the resort. Yes, you're right. I think we got our trip through Shotgun Eddie's, but it was...
Wait, the outfitter, so they have all the tubes?
Yeah, they would set up the actual river trip.
Travel in tubes.
But we stayed... Wolf River something was where we stayed that had the great pie. And that was, they had their all sorts of wonderful homemade foods.
Yeah.
So everybody's trying to correct me. I'm sorry. Well, my memory's faulty.
This from the 708. I'm being attacked for declaring pecan pie as the greatest dessert. I would never presume to create someone else's goat dessert list. Just for me, pecan pie is at the top. You make your own. I would never step in on that.
That's why you're not a fan.
How is pecan pie not on a list of fat? I mean, it's all sugar and butter.
I did not say it wouldn't be on a list.
Okay.
I just, it would not be number one on a list.
All right.
Speaking of a list, the list of free agents may be down by one because of a signing. Rick, you said that you had some information on a big check for a player who's only .
Yeah, the Sacramento Kings had traded for Harrison Barnes, and he opted out with kind of the assumption he would sign back, and he signed back, or reportedly will. Mark Stein confirmed in the initial report that 4 years, $88 million for Harrison Barnes. That is Harrison Barnes.
Wow. 4 years, $88 million for Harrison Barnes.
Not 8.8, not anything else that, you know, not like 38 and he just like added the other half to it. $88 million.
Good for Harrison Barnes.
Return of the Kings.
That man averaged 16.5 points a game last year. He shot 42% from the field, and his three-point percentage was 39.5%.
Okay.
Does that do it for you?
Just that's a guy.
He fits what they need, but 4 years at that kind of money.
Well, the Kings were ready to match they're the ones put the offer sheet out for Zach LaVine, right? That was the 4 year, correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, I remember the 4 years and 78
right
for Zach LaVine that the Bulls ended up matching after when they signed him.
Yeah, they were the ones that put that offer out there, and maybe they're just getting word that. Normally, when you get word that you're not a free agent destination and basically nobody wants to come to you, you sign someone for 2 years, maybe, or 3 years,
yeah, like
with
a Carlos Boozer
kind of
deal,
right?
Or trade for Otto Porter,
right?
Yeah, well, that was what their Harrison Barnes thing was. That's the equivalent of Otto Porter opting out and then the Bulls giving him a crap ton more money.
Wow, there's more NBA news too. Zach Lowe says the NBA will implement a coaches challenge at the upcoming summer leagues and anticipates using the rule during next season as part of a pilot program. Coaches will get one challenge per game, whether it's successful or unsuccessful. They can challenge only called fouls, goaltending, basket interference, and plays when the ball is knocked out of bounds. The NBA has tested this version of the challenge system in the G League over the past two seasons. Coaches must have a timeout remaining to use a challenge. So Boylan's going to screw this up for sure. it's already wrong. The team has to call the timeout immediately after the event it would like to challenge, and the coach must twirl his or her index finger toward the referees. Now, does that mean like home run?
Yeah,
like
I think that's the home run. Well,
it wouldn't
be horizontal. No, that's like a Harry Potter sort of thing going on there.
Expelliarmus!
You look like if Jim Boylan has to twirl his finger like that and scream Expelliarmus to an NBA referee, I will watch every single game waiting for him to do that.
Expectus Patronum!
I will do.
It has to be an actual spell, though.
It really does need to be.
Wingardium Leviosa!
Obviously, Boylan's Patronus is bulls across to the chest, right?
It's a bull.
It's just a tattoo across his chest.
No, it's a bull with Boylan across its chest. Right, so it squares the circle of everything. Comes riding to his rescue at the end of a game as he twirls his finger.
Rides in and says, "Jim, you didn't have a timeout."
I thought I did, but I knew that was going to happen.
Oh, Lord. So they're going to do this next season?
Yeah, looks like they're going to do this next season.
All right, so what is it again? It's only called fouls, goaltending, basket interference, and plays when the ball is knocked out of bounds.
Correct. That's it.
That seems fine with me. That seems fine. I mean, we do this anyway. If you go to review and you go to the monitors, you're waiting forever as it is. I just, when things happen so fast or on the other end of the floor, like if you're in your side and the play happens on the other end and in that corner where, you know, six or seven guys are in your line of sight to the ball, if the ball goes out in the corner on the other side, how are you going to know to challenge that? You're going to have to go, I would imagine you're going to have to go by what your guys on the floor tell you happened.
Boy, but challenging a called foul, how are you going to be sure that it's wrong? Like if a guy just completely never touched someone, there's always contact.
Always a little.
I mean, there's always going to be enough for the ref to be like, meh. I mean, always on replay.
So then you have to go back and by the rule, you know, is there enough contact or not? Yeah, that's
verticality. Did he kick his legs out kind of thing?
Because you don't have, I mean, you don't have a video crew like you do in football, like coaches who are actually checking this thing, telling you and buzzing down going, yeah, challenge this. You don't have a guy at the, you know, down the dugout, down the tunnel, saying, yeah, put the headphones on. We've got this one. That system doesn't really exist the same way.
I can see on a charge, like if someone's feet are in the restricted area or not, that'd be an easy one to call.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Assuming the person's set and that's not the question, it's just where the guy is, that's one thing that can be easily challenged.
If it's on your end, if it's on the other end of the floor, yeah, it might be a little more difficult, right?
Right, but I'm just saying for like once they get to review you know, being able to determine.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Yesterday, the general manager of the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, joined us to talk about the players that might be moving around come deadline time within the organization, whether they're looking outside the organization, and why this team can't hit when it matters, and they continue to have had that issue. It was a wide-ranging and extensive conversation that we had, more a State of the Cubs address,
really was,
near the halfway point as anything else. So you're going to hear it in its entirety. Jed Hoyer talking about the Cubs next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.